time to think big with Big Alaska guests. Big Alaska adventures and no good line through your tooth, tall Alaska tales. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Big Alaska Show. Broadcasting from the studios of a remote cabin outside Bolchitna and streamed worldwide at KFQD.com with podcast streamed at BigAlaskaShow.com. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve and some Big Alaska Show friends. Broadcast legend of radio and television and seen on NBC affiliate KTUU2 and CBS affiliate KYES5 right here in Anchorage, Alaska. But today, reaching the pinnacle of his career, John Thompson is in the house. And joining John, the Joan of Arc of Alaska's American Cancer Society, a fearless warrior who leads the battle and rallies the troops to battle and meet cancer head on. Welcome, Annette Vrolik. Plus, believe it or not, we have a tall Alaska tale to tell. Designed to raise your spirits and not your blood pressure unless you're a guy named Mike Ford. Oh! Good morning, everyone. It's the Big Alaska Show.
Baby.
How about that?
Yeah, how's that, man?
Yeah.
So, this we got a fun show. We got special guests in here just having a blast just from your introduction.
Yes.
You are one funny guy.
I see you put JT in the gamer chair. That's only appropriate. Yes,
that's what they were talking about. Annette Vrolik, who's with the American Cancer Society, she says, it looks like a gamer's chair. He goes, it is a gamer's chair. Of course, I don't know what the heck they're talking about.
That's right.
And you do.
Of course I do. What do you mean?
That's probably your chair.
I'm never telling.
Hey, we got a fun show today. It's a special day. Special day today. We've got Annette Vrolik, who is with the American Cancer Society, who, you know, I was asking her what her position was, and she'll tell you it's kind of a, you know, it's the Joan of Arc.
That's
is
good.
Really what she is. She's a leader, and she deals with volunteers. And as we all know, volunteer in Latin means maybe.
Yes.
And so a remarkable young woman and a remarkable organization, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Polar Bear Jump Off, the 2025 40th anniversary of the Polar Bear Jump Off in the all-American city of Seward, Alaska. And we'll talk to Annette a little bit about that. And John Thompson, because you're not going to be able to go because of some responsibilities you have. The downside of your character is you're responsible.
I know. What's up with that?
John Thompson is going to step in as a co-host. And John has firsthand experience of jumping in that water, and we'll find out a little bit more.
Awesome.
So anyway, we got a fun packed show today. Of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't start the Big Alaska Show out the right way.
Oh, hang on. Okay. Wow.
Excellent.
See, now you know it's live, folks.
It's excellent. I love it when the wheels come off.
That's right.
We like to blame Mike.
It's so easy to do.
Folks, the key to a successful radio show, especially an early Saturday morning radio show, is a strong cup of coffee. And nothing stronger than Big Alaska Show Blend, the intense early morning coffee for intense early morning indigestion. Made from an old secret family recipe, Big Alaska Show Blend packs a powerful cup of coffee that's been handed down from generation to generation with the same unique flavor it started with. That's because it is the same cup it started with. And one taste says it all. Bitter biting with a specific gravity of basalt, Big Alaska Show Blend. The intense early morning coffee for intense early morning gas.
Pour me a cup, it's time to get up and face the world, my friend. Pour me a cup, I can't get enough for that Big Alaska Show Blend.
And that's how we roll here in the Big Alaska Show. When we come back, we've got our guests, Annette Vrolik and John Thompson, and my good buddy, co-host Mike Ford. I'm having so much fun, I can't stand it. You know, Amy doesn't mind me being happy in the morning. She just wish I'd keep it to myself.
I know.
We'll be right back with this.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford of Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors, Alaska's window experts. For windows, doors, shower doors, affordable glass replacement, it's Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. The show is designed to raise your spirits, not your blood pressure. Just leave your muddy boots and politics at the door. I'm Uncle Steve and my good buddy and co-host Mike Ford. Today we're doing the show live. We tend to alternate live and unlive, although some people have argued that our live shows are unlive. But anyway, our guest, we have a tandem group here. John Thompson is a well-known broadcaster here in the Anchorage market, and joining him is the lovely Annette Vrolik with the American Cancer Society, and you're going to find out what they have in common here.
Oh.
Yes, that's right. In fact, they don't even know what they have in common.
Wow.
That's what we have
in common. The fact that they made it through the door of this show.
Yeah, right. I noticed each one is inching closer and closer to be the first out the door.
Yes.
Would you please give a warm Big Alaska Show welcome to John Thompson and Annette Vrolik.
You know, one thing they have in common, a microphone.
That's true. I mean, Annette jumps right in. You can tell this woman has
been on the radio like 6 times this week now.
But this is the first time you've been on this microphone.
This is true. This is absolutely the first time I have been on this specific microphone.
So just to give you a little bit behind the scenes here, we pull back the curtain, ladies and gentlemen. There are 2 microphones in the KFQD studio. The host one and the one for guests. And so I'm swinging it around sort of like a...
Well, we have 2 in this room, too, but only one works.
The thing, it works well for them if you speak really loudly.
That's right.
You know, in there. So
hold the string tighter.
So I'm swapping this microphone back and forth, swinging it like a crane.
See, but that helps with your tennis, your backhand.
Remember when we had your shoulder surgeon on here? Mm-hmm. He was talking about exercise and strengthening the
shoulder.
Yeah. And so that's...
I don't think he recommended microphone swinging.
No, probably not.
I don't believe that.
As long as you keep your elbow close to your side.
I'll take a picture for Dr. Paisley and send it right along.
No, I was hesitant to say this, but isn't this sort of like sharing a toothbrush?
No.
No.
No, not even close.
Annette, I know you've had a busy time. You've had your little beard-a-thon. What do you call that?
It's our version of the American Cancer Society Alaska's version of No Shave November, and it's called Grow Nation Alaska. It is not anything to do with marijuana or any of those products. It does not have to do with gardening. It is about growing facial hair. So
why don't you just call it Grow Facial Hair?
I mean, Grow Nation Alaska has a better ring to it.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
it does.
So.
And you're actually about to wrap up here. You got a little bit longer.
We have about a week left. Last time I actually didn't check yesterday. I didn't have time. But last time I checked, we had raised $18,000 more than. Huge effort by the Anchorage Police Department. They are an amazing group of men and women. No matter what some people think when they're getting a ticket written, they really do come out in full force, no pun intended, to support us and what we're doing to help Alaskan cancer patients. All the money. Thank you. All the money that we raise through Grow Nation Alaska stays in Alaska to support Alaskan cancer patients and their families.
Good for you. Good for you. And just so people know, this is the police have a, you know, they have a code of shaving, they made an exception.
Yeah, so Anchorage Police Department changed their policy. However, the Alaska State Troopers that have joined us this year, they have dropped the gauntlet and challenged APD, and there is a pretty stiff competition going on in the facial hair world right now between Anchorage Police and the Alaska State Troopers, and Alaska State Troopers mean business.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's these massive injections of testosterone. There. That's cool.
Yeah, well, troopers. I mean, the Alaska State Troopers had their female troopers showing off their facial hair displays on Facebook. So if you're on Facebook and you want to check out the Alaska State Troopers Facebook page, they had some of their female troopers showing off their freestyle competition growth. So
I know what you're thinking. No, this is awesome. You are a true warrior in the fight against cancer, and the polar bear jump off is going to be the 40th.
Yes.
And I just want to do one quick little brag on this young woman. Is when the pandemic came, she kept this baby going. We have a podcast of the show, an interview with you on that too. Someday you have to go back and remember.
Oh, I remember. I remember. I was fighting the whole city of Seward to make sure that we were still able to jump into Resurrection Bay. It was a challenge.
But you did it. You did it virtually, and you did it.
We did it in person. We did it live. I had to comb through all of the safety protocols to make sure that there was no stone unturned, to make sure we had jumpers safely in the water. Make sure there was no sharing of potential coronavirus germs. Mm-hmm. So the safety swimmers in the water were all wearing air regulators. So they were breathing their own air. And that if they had to get close to somebody who was jumping, they weren't, you know, jeopardizing their health.
Do you remember how many jumpers you had about that time?
It wasn't a lot. We only had like 40 jumpers in 2021, which like there was a spike. So Alaska had... You know, you think back to the 2020 time frame, and it was March. We had like a whole two cases in the state, but everything started shutting down. And you know, and then all of a sudden you hit the summer months and we're still like, you know, 20 to 50 cases or whatever. And then we get into the winter time when people are trapped indoors and they're like, this has been going on long enough. And then we've really had a spike. And, you know, places like Seward, where they don't have the infrastructure to support, you know, people that are sick. It was really, it was a huge concern. I had to talk to the police chief. I was talking to the fire chief. I was talking to the harbor master, the city of Seward, like, you know, mayor's office, like all these people. And they're like, you're not coming down. And I'm like, oh, yes, I am.
Yes, yes.
Try and stop me.
Yeah. That is so cool, but we have a podcast interview, and that's really a good historical piece to have, because it shows what you can tell just by the tenaciousness of this leader. You talk about herding cats.
I mean, they're well-trained cats.
Yeah, well.
I mean, we have some fantastic volunteers, but like, you know, it is a maybe. That life gets in the way.
Yeah.
Life happens. I was a volunteer once. That's how I started with the American Cancer Society. And I really, honestly and truly, when I was offered this job, I was done volunteering for the American Cancer Society. I was a volunteer lead for a Relay for Life out in Chugiak Eagle River. And I was like, okay, life is getting hard. I need to make some adjustments. I need to focus more somewhere. And volunteering for the American Cancer Society didn't seem to make sense. And I had always joked, and God has a funny way of making you put your money where your mouth is. I always joked that the only way I would do more for the American Cancer Society than I was already doing, which was a lot, was if they hired me. And so lo and behold, in 2018, I had started working for a great company, loved my job, loved my coworkers, and the American Cancer Society came along and said, hey, we have a position open that we think you would be great for. And I said, no, I'm happy. I just started. I'm good. And then they came back again, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, you're not going to take no for an answer.
Yeah.
And they said, no.
You talk about where you put your money where your mouth is, whereas Mike and I put our mouth where the money is. But Mike, what anybody gives us money, we call
friend.
And the more money,
the better the friend.
That's right. Polar bear jump off, the 40th anniversary is, the jump is the 18th of January.
Saturday, January 18th, we'll start throwing people in the water.
Yep.
At about 12:30, there's going to be a parade before that. We're going to have them come into the Breeze Inn. Love the Breeze. They have been a great partner of ours down in Seward.
We love the Breeze.
We're going to do our check-in. We're going to give them all safety briefings. We're going to give them towels. We're going to make sure they know that they have to get out of the water after they jump in, not staying in the water.
Well, in fact, I'm going to bring John Thompson in this because John is a testimonial to the polar bear. What year was it that you jumped, John?
What year was that? I'm trying to think of how long that has been now.
Because now you were with Deanna, who was worked at K-Bear. I've got a picture of you, and you guys are dressed like as, maybe it was bears. That's what you're trying to be. But you had
Care Bears.
He had used like a Sharpie and given himself a six-pack. Nice. And I've got a picture of this.
That's right.
And you know, I mean, you didn't. You're an athlete. I mean, you were young. I want to say that I bet you this was over 10 years ago.
It was. I was going to say maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, because you said the Big Alaska Show has been on for what, 19 years now?
Yeah.
And I think it was kind of in the beginning of the Big Alaska Show.
Yeah.
So it's been a while.
I remember you. Do you remember jumping?
I do. I remember like all the air leaving your body. Like you just crumple up, man. But it's exhilarating at the same time, right? And then, like Annette had mentioned, there's the safety swimmers that are right there to pick you up, get you out of that water. So it's pretty painless.
Oh,
the worst part is waiting. The waiting in line. And you're standing there in your skibbies just, that wind blowing and just waiting.
Normally we try to get them through, you know, just like a Pez. Just keep firing them through there.
Right.
But when we saw you there standing in like 98, you know, we started back. I'm a lonely man. I'd like to. It is. It's so cold that people can't wait to get in the water because it's warmer,
That might be true. Well, and the other thing they tell you is not to wear a lot of clothes because when you get in the water, then you're going to be, essentially drugged down. So you're standing out there in as little as possible for that purpose. So, and then, Steve's up there announcing it and taking his time.
Yeah, going, hey, don't I know you over there? And just come on, man. Come on. Well,
but the party's a great time afterwards too.
As Christy Bond Hill said, she learned after the first year not to wear cotton because I still remember there was a guy who came and he was what was his character?
Wasn't he a Q-tip?
He was a Q-tip.
Yeah,
and he almost drowned. It was like throwing a bale of cotton in the water, and he just. By the way, one of my favorite stories is, and Annette, you may remember this, was one of the jumpers was with one of the cell companies. And what he was going to do is he was going to demonstrate that the phone would work underwater.
Oh, goodness.
And so we've got it plugged in so you can hear it. And he was going to report from the bottom of the Resurrection Bay Harbor there. And he goes in and nothing.
Yeah.
So we're all thinking, God, what a piece of dirt this product is. Turns out, he said, no, the phone worked. He says, I couldn't talk.
I hadn't heard that. I've been with the American Cancer Society on staff for 6 years now, 6.5 years. And I manage multiple fundraising events throughout the state of Alaska. I have met some phenomenal people up in Fairbanks, down in Valdez. I've been out to Kodiak. The American Cancer Society really allowed me to visit more of Alaska, but I have only been managing the polar bear jump. Let's see. I managed it in 2019, so shortly after I started working.
Yeah.
And then we decided, there's a joke in the office. My portfolio of the events that I manage does not stay consistent for more than 6 months. So I just kind of rotate through the events. It's gotten better since the pandemic. They really found my niche on what I'm good at, and it's the outdoor, completely crazy, non-traditional events that I really excel at.
As Milton Berle said, hey, the average American ain't into watching the average American, and I tell you, that's what makes it so cool. It's so creative, and it's so much fun. Unfortunately, the best-kept secret in the American Cancer Society nationally.
Well, and, there's so many polar bear jumps throughout the world. Some places do it as a New Year's Eve tradition. Some people do it for fun in other places of the world. Special Olympics has the Polar Bear Plunge that they do as an annual fundraiser throughout the country, I believe.
Yeah.
They definitely have a big one here in Anchorage, and we don't try to compete with the Special Olympics. We go, you know, travel through the mountains to go to Seward, and, you know, we have different fundraising criteria that you have to meet. We've decided that with the 40th anniversary, people need to raise a minimum of $1,000 to have the honor and privilege of jumping in freezing cold water.
Yes.
And they do it. Yeah. I think I was looking, we have Marissa Beck, I believe she's out of Seward, is just $49 shy of hitting $1,000. But I've seen people raise over $1,000 in less than 24 hours.
And word has it that the towels are fluffier this year.
They were pretty cool last year. I don't know. So Tote Maritime has been a longtime sponsor of the Polar Bear Jump, and they have traditionally purchased towels for the event for all of the jumpers. We are still making sure that they're coming back this year. It's a process, getting sponsors in line, getting jumpers in line, making sure they know they have to raise enough money to jump, getting all the safety people in place. It takes months.
Getting the MCs in line.
Yeah.
Oh, that's probably the hardest. You guys are the untrained cats, I have to herd.
Yes. You see, we are artistes. You've really underscored why Mike always says it's more fun to go to someone else's party.
Yeah.
And so we applaud you. We'd normally want to be your agent, but we know we couldn't raise enough money that you deserve. One thing I'd like to point out that's different this year, you didn't have the luxury of, that this one coming up in January, is the hot tub.
The hot tub. Oh, no. Should Annette talk about the hot tub?
No, not a hot tub.
Bathtub?
No. So there are some fantastic volunteers down in Seward. So Casey Warner, Veronica Lambert, Rosie Patnode, who am I missing? Chris Harris. There's just a whole group. If I forgot any of you, it's not on purpose. I promise. They just tell me I only have.
So what are they going to do?
So they have actually spoken with, Alaska Saunas? So it's a sauna. It's a dry sauna.
It doesn't matter. Something that's warm.
It is something that's warm. I am told. So again, I don't do events by myself.
So
I work with volunteers.
So this may be a tall Alaska tale.
Volunteers down there spoke with, I believe the name is Alaska Saunas, if I'm getting that wrong again. I will fix it on my...
It's probably Alaska Sausage.
They actually helped me with my fishing derby. So I work with them, too.
Uncle Steve, didn't you tell her about our donation, about the World War II surplus Big Alaska Show Army blanket that we're going to provide for three lucky jumpers?
Tell us more, because I'm going to go to a break here. I've got a few...
I'm just thinking. Okay, we can get in on that.
We've got ideas for you, Annette.
Oh, I love ideas. And I get to say yes or no to you. But usually I say yes. Because if you want to help and you want to be part of the reason we have less cancer in the world, I'm all for it. So
you're awesome.
Wow, someone that says yes to us.
Yeah.
Don't get too used to it. Your wife might hate me.
Yeah. She knows I need the discipline. Hey, we're going to take a real quick break. And when we come back, John Thompson... I want to talk to you. You know, you're a broadcast legend, dude.
That's news to me. Thank you, Steve.
See, it's just like we were. Well, you know, I'm trying to help Annette say we got hot tubs.
Yeah, you know, the hot tub thing, it doesn't work out as well. I mean, in theory, it sounds good.
Yeah, but see, our job is to get people in the door. Your job is to quell their anger when they find out what exactly true what we told them.
Right.
We're going to be right back with Annette Vrolik and John Thompson. We got surprises for both of you.
Ooh.
Right after this.
Welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Alaska Enterprise Solutions, the authorized sales agent for Alaska. Call Mike Ferris or visit him anytime at aesalaska.com.
Hey, thanks for joining us in the Big Alaska Show. Our show comes to you each Saturday morning, 9.05 a.m. to 10 a.m. here at KFQD. That's 103.7 FM, 7.50 a.m. We're streamed at KFQD.com and our podcast at BigAlaskaShow.com. And this is the 100th year of this station, KFQD.
Known for quality delivery.
Yeah.
Is what KFQD stands for. That is true.
I love talking broadcasting. The things we learn here, in fact, so many things to learn. We got John Thompson is a longtime broadcaster. And John, I remember when you worked here at K-Bear.
Right.
Want to come back? The K-Bear?
I heard that there may be, what is it, the morning
position? You don't mind getting up early, do you?
That's right.
You could go home and get a little nap after you're anchoring the TV thing.
Well, now, Mike makes a good point. We want you to come back because the reason we're here is to create an intervention because we think you're happy. You've been happy all along and just didn't know it. And hey, Mike, let's play this little piece and see if you remember.
Let's have a big, warm, big Alaska show. Welcome for the one and only John Thompson.
Wow.
Oh, Mike Ford. Yes.
What's happening, buddy?
Welcome.
Thank you for inviting me, Uncle Steve.
Finally.
I know. It's been way too long. We always talk about this, and it has come. It has come to fruition. Thank you for inviting me down.
This is your old haunts, man.
The old haunts.
You're with one of the sisters radio stations, uh-huh. K-Bear. And
he really misses getting up at 3:30 in the morning, too.
It's true. Well, here's the deal. I mean, I'm still doing sports every weekday morning on KFQD here for Newsday AM with Joe Campbell and Kathy Phillips. So if you wake up to Joe and Kathy, you'll hear a little sports from this guy. Yeah, so Steve, you were an original sourdough, buddy. You and the good mayor, Dan Sullivan.
Isn't that a hilarious book?
It's an awesome book. You gave me a copy of that book when it first came out, and I've read it a few times, and looking at the pictures, man. I love the picture of you going up. Did you just get, like, laid up on, or are you going up for the layup? I forget which. Back before the dunk, you know, it was...
but what I'm most impressed by that picture, look at the chops on me, man.
Oh, man.
Sideburns, and I had a mustache.
Look at my chops.
So
the look of pain on his face was what I like about that picture.
So sourdough.
So you were here doing radio, and I remember when you were at K-Bear.
Yeah.
Your background, now, what sports did you grow up in? You were a wrestler, weren't you?
I was a wrestler, football, soccer, kind of, you know, my parents put me in a lot of things, just kind of see what you enjoyed. But
where were you at? Where'd you live down at the time?
Yeah, no, I grew up here in Anchorage, so east side Anchorage, went to Clark and Bartlett.
Did you go to school? Yeah. What weight did you wrestle back then?
It was a 189, 215.
Really?
Know. Yeah, I don't know. I was
huge.
He was buff.
I was never buff. I don't know how to describe it. Just tall. I had a little, you know, little baby fat thing.
I had
going
to wrestle
on.
A state champion who was 119 pounds, and
tough.
I'm lucky to be here because he did one of those moves where he put my face on the mat and put his head under my arm and drove my face up and down the mat.
Oh,
it took every facial.
You.
Oh,
if you look close, you can still see the high school logo on his chin.
Yeah, right. It's true. I had no facial hair left. It was sort of like rug burns. You guys are animals, man. Anyway,
yeah.
So you came broadcast here, but you went on and did sports at Coastal.
That's right. That's right.
13.
Because I was working here with Jim Robbins, Indiana, on the morning show for K-Bear. And then there was an opportunity. Trill Gates was the news director over at Coastal Television, Fox 4, and it was Chemo, I believe, still at the time. They had not changed it to KYUR.
That's right.
But Trill had invited me to just do some part-time reporter work and kind of get your feet wet a little bit. It was a great opportunity. I remember talking to you, talking to Jim Robbins. It was a tough decision.
I remember you doing
it was a tough decision to leave radio at the time because I was working on, I'd always wanted to be a morning show guy, and I had finally attained that. And so it was a little tough to kind of change direction, I guess.
Well, that's why I publicly wanted to come out and apologize for suggesting that you, the career you went on, start at the bottom and went down.
No.
So you got to go down to Seattle a lot to watch.
Yes.
What was that about?
It was like just great opportunity. So, you know, the general manager at the time, he was all about that cohesiveness between Anchorage and Seattle. We're Northwest Market. We had all the Seahawk games on KTBY, Fox 4. So he really wanted to get involved. So we were going down there for preseason games and then just really building a relationship with the Seahawks.
And the Hawks would come up here.
And the Hawks would come up here in the summertime. They would do the camps. You know, when they won the Super Bowl, they brought the Vince Lombardi trophy down to KTBY Fox 4. We got to go down for the NFC Championship game in Seattle twice.
Did you meet Russell Wilson?
Met Russell Wilson. I remember when they were down in Atlanta, it was Russell Wilson's second year, I want to say, as quarterback, and they had gotten beat by Atlanta, and we had to fill a little time after the game live on Fox 4. So we're in the arena just going around, opening doors, seeing what's going on live on television. I swear, I open the door, and it's the Seahawks locker room, and Russell Wilson just gives me the death glare. Like, what is the press guy from Anchorage, Alaska doing in this room right after they had just lost, like, the divisional playoff game? And, you know, close the door, walk back out. But I think that made live TV, I'm pretty sure. So we were just messing around. It was a good time.
And Uncle Steve, you don't remember this, I don't think, but John was on nationally, too, with John Oliver, with a little clip about the jock strap. The Gladiator jockstrap at Blockbuster.
Do you remember Russell Crowe? So John Oliver had bought Russell Crowe's memorabilia from the Gladiator movie, right? And had it.
It went to Fairbanks because it was like the last Blockbuster.
Well, it was in Anchorage.
That's right, it was DeBar.
Yeah. And one of the pieces of memorabilia was like the jockstrap of Russell Crowe from the film Gladiator. And I don't remember how or what, but the way that we had written the story over at KTBA, John Oliver just loved it, and he took a clip from that story and he aired it on his
this
show.
Greatness. So
it was pretty cool.
30 seconds of national fame.
There you go.
Hey, buddy.
There you go. But that was just a great story in general. What is the jockstrap of Russell Crowe doing in
the
East
jockstrap
Anchorage?
Of Russell
well,
Crowe?
Well, didn't it go on to also be like auctioned off for some amazing like humanitarian thing? I think was the end on that.
There was some more to that story, no doubt.
I think actually Russell Crowe donated them funds to help koalas in Australia, if I'm not mistaken.
See, Mike knows the story better than anyone else.
I love that.
This is what I love about doing broadcast guests is because I learn more about his broadcast career, which is, I mean, this guy is Hall of Fame broadcast bound.
Without a doubt. I want to say, in all the years I've known Mike Ford, I've never seen him wear a hat with his namesake. This is new.
That's because I'm Ford on board on K-Bear now in the afternoon.
Ford on board.
Ford on board. Yes.
Congratulations.
And that's why he's begging you.
I'm Mike in the morning. I'm Mike in the morning over here, and then Ford on board over there.
See, I wouldn't want to go up against Mike in the morning. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, we would accommodate you. We would make it happen.
Go ahead.
I could come down the hall, and we could swap stories on the air with each other.
Fascinating.
Now, besides the jockstrap of Russell Crowe, what was one of your favorite sports moments besides looking at eyeball meets spear with Russell Wilson awesome. Opening the door?
No, it probably was that Atlanta experience. I got to interview Chris Myers, who's like one of the play-by-play guys now in the NFL for Fox. Yeah. The people you get to meet, the connections you get to make, and then just watching some amazing football, that was... it was very special. I don't think I fully understood what I was doing at the time. It's one of those you look back.
Yeah, I know. You know, if only you knew now what you know.
Yeah.
But now today, are you an anchor? You're a co-host?
Yeah.
You're a dude. You are the dude.
I'm a dude over at the Mighty Alaska's News Source, so Channel 2 and Channel 5, the NBC and CBS affiliates. We're now like statewide. We're in the Fairbanks market as well now. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm an anchor and a reporter. We call it MMJ, a multimedia journalist, which means you can grab your camera, run out, you can shoot it, you can run back, you can edit it, you can write it, you can go on air and deliver it. So it's a lot in a short amount of time, but it keeps the days exciting. And
all those skills of guerrilla broadcasting that you learned just across the street.
Guerrilla broadcasting, Mike. You got it.
Well,
you got it.
Now, we've had David Allgood on right before he left the state. You know, he ran up his contract at Channel 2 and did the Allgood News. Great You're man. Continuing this thing.
Yeah, in a way. Yeah. You know, we are not calling it, because I'm not Dave Allgood, so we cannot call it the All Good News, you know. But
you could say the sort of good
The sort
news.
Of decent news.
How about Johnny Be Good News?
Johnny, well, see, he's an idea
what I'm
man.
About.
He's an idea man.
While the world wears bifocals, Mike Ford has visions. That's my man. But you are doing community outreach kind of things.
And, absolutely.
I mean, little stories still.
Yeah. Always loving getting out into the community, telling stories. So some very heartfelt stories, ones that really, you know, make me tear up a little bit.
Sure,
to just really interesting stories, like the whale last week, or that's Ooh. Still out there, you
yeah.
know. Has Annette seen the whale? Did you make the trek? You have not made the trek out to the whale?
We made the trek out, but we just went to... The bike trail, went to the little place clearing where you could get a shot of it and took some pictures. What'd you learn about you did a story on the whale.
Well, it's a young female fin whale, and the fin whale is pretty common in Alaska, but just not far up the inlet. It's pretty rare, and especially in November, they were saying. So it's a really rare thing. And so I think that's what's really captured the imagination of a lot of folks. I mean, people driving in from the valley, that was cool. I just walking up, talking to people. Oh, I came in from Palmer just to see this thing. In the middle of a day on a Wednesday, you know, it's just...
Well, and people are walking out on the flats.
Yeah.
People go walk in the flats, and we who grew up here knew all the horror stories of don't go out in the flats. And even though it's frozen, when that tide comes in, that becomes quicksand.
It's quick.
And so... What's going to happen with the whale, do you think? Are they going to try and blow it up, or
No, so they tethered it down. They had anchored the whale down so that they could remove, you know, they were taking some samples, things like that, take it back to the lab, do a necropsy.
Yeah.
They've untethered the whale. They're hoping that naturally the tide will take it back out.
See, the Big Alaska Show, I think, Mike Ford. Now, see, I'm kind of shocked by you at this point, because usually you...
I have five ideas by now, wouldn't I? But Mike Ferris is busy, and I can't get him to get his boat to tow it out.
Here at the Big Alaska Show, we're auctioning off for the American Cancer Society the carcass of the whale.
She's like, don't get us involved.
No.
See, I told you
she'd say no. Animals.
Are there microphones on?
It's on.
Yeah, it's on. She said
You're
no.
You're just looking at the wrong button.
Well, I know that.
There's four buttons and two microphones, and I know it can be very... You're not done with your cup of coffee.
Math ain't his best skill.
He's also working on his cup of coffee still. I can appreciate that. Mine is down to nothing now.
Right. But is that a hint? Would you like some more coffee?
No. Okay. No, not a hint, but no. I mean, I, not the American Cancer Society, love creative ideas. However, the American Cancer Society has a very good reputation that I do not want to tarnish, and I am limited on the activities and the sources of funding that we can benefit from.
The door is slowly closing on any opportunities.
Wait a minute, man. See, we'll take you out of the loop. We'll take this sucker and donate that money. You know, we're going to make some of that. What was the stuff you talked about? You don't want muck tuck in your mucklucks. Was that the thing you told me?
That was a few ideas ago.
Okay,
I've had more than one sleep since then.
Hey, we need to do one thing very quickly here, because with you and your beard-a-thon...
Grow Nation Alaska, yes. No Shave November for Alaskans.
For facial hair, we have something for you both.
Is it time?
It's time to play one of our all-time favorite games called...
Come on.
Push the button. Push
so
the button,
annoying.
Mike. Push the
button. Tall Alaskan tales. Tall Alaskan tales. No good lying through your tooth. Tall Alaskan tales.
Okay, hold that up. We're going to play this little tale. It's up to you. Tell us if you think...
That was one take, by the way. We got to throw that in there for John's benefit.
That's
one take on that.
Tall Alaskan tales. And it wasn't until I went to the vocal majority to realize how out of tune I was. And so... But we're going to play this little tale. It's up to you to determine, is this the truth or no good lying through your tooth, tall Alaska tale? Mike, tell them what our disclaimer is.
We're usually able to win our own prize, we usually do.
Okay. So, let's play this tale. When Anchorage resident Vern Johnson organized the winter sports tournament in 1935, one can only imagine how delighted he would have been knowing it would turn into the ever-popular fur rendezvous of today.
All Vern wanted was to bring Anchorage's small population together with a fun cabin fever reliever. In those days, fur trade was the second largest industry at the time, and it was common practice for fur traders to come sell their furs in February. So in 1937, they revised the name to the Winter Sports Tournament and Fur Rendezvous, then eventually just Fur Rendezvous. Over the years, many a colorful story has been told having to do with the Fur Rendy. One such story has to do with one of Fur Rendy's more popular events, the Mr. Fur Face competition at the Miners and Trappers Ball. Here, competitors would vie for bragging rights for the best beard and mustache. Prior to the event being introduced in 1950, a committee spent countless hours wee into the night defining the rules of the competition. It was no easy task. Beards and mustaches are as unique as the individual sporting them. As a result, several categories were developed, such as there was the Mr. Alaskan Whaler, Mr. Brown Bear, Mr. Black Bear, Mr. Mountain Goat, Mr. Polar Bear, Mr. Soup Strainer for the best mustache, and on and on. But there was one category discussed that would never see the light of day. The thought was, if awards were going to be given to the best beards and stashes, why not provide an overall award for the most body hair? After all, there are men walking around with thick jungles on their chests, backs, and no telling where else. Creative category names abound, such as Mr. Hairsuit and Mr. Yeti. However, things came to a halt when committee members discussed how the competitors would display their wares and its appropriateness, especially for those whose hairline seemed endless. Is this the truth or a no-good lion-through-your-tooth tall Alaska tale?
Okay, now, here we go. Now, so, you know, I'll be positive, man, because we do have a, we have an answer, as a matter of fact.
Do you want the answer now, or
no,
are we going to give them a shot?
No, okay. Give them a chance, right, for crying out loud.
All right. You know.
I just, you know,
why?
Why don't we play it first, then ask them if they think it's true.
Okay.
Nice guy, but, you know, kind of. So, ladies first. Annette, what do you think? Is it a truth or a no good lying through your tooth Alaska tale?
So I've been to the Miners and Trappers Ball, and I've been witness to the Mr. Furface competition, and now the newly revised Mr. Furface competition at the recent Anchorage Beards, Booze, and Bacon Festival. It's moved out of February, and I think that might be true because there are
troopers, you know, that they can
freestyle.
That's the pyrite one.
And you know, it's honestly at the Mr. Furface competition, they had that as well. Yep. It was a
pyrite.
Pyrite. Yeah.
So
that's for you, and you know, you're
a little lost.
A good little sort of Van Gogh. What do they call the kind of what you have? What is that?
Van Dyke. The goatee. The Van Dyke. I don't know. I don't know.
Do you think this is the truth or a no good lying through your tooth tall Alaska tale?
Annette said the truth.
Yes.
You think it's the truth?
Yeah.
No, what specifically we're talking about the body hair part of this?
Yes. We're talking just,
or just the entire story?
The entire story. I mean, maybe.
Well, then I think it's the truth.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's the truth.
So,
are we ready?
Yeah. Let's play this. Well, this is obviously a bold-faced lie.
Oh.
One can't help but think the new category would be called Mr. Missing Link. So you guys, once again, Mike and I win our own prizes.
Mm-hmm.
I know our time is coming to a close, and we looking forward to emceeing the Polar Bear Jump Off for the Polar Bear Jump Off in 2025, the 40th anniversary.
Wow. Yes.
If people want to get information on the Polar Bear Jump Off in Seward, where do they go?
There's a couple of places. We are definitely on Facebook. We have a great partnership with the Seward Chamber of Commerce. You can find information on their Facebook page. There's a Facebook event. Our website where you can register or donate. So there's lots of ways. You don't have to jump in freezing cold water. You can support your favorite crazy Alaskan who's jumping in the water. Or out-of-stater. We have people flying up from Texas to participate in this. AlaskaPolarBearJump.com.org.
Okay.
I think both. Nope. Either.
And we'll put them on our Big Alaska Show website with the podcast and put links together. So you can find all that information at BigAlaskaShow.com. We'll make sure we'll put the podcast up along with the links. And we'll be talking to you before then anyway.
Oh, I'm sure.
And John Thompson, buddy, I'll tell you, it's going to be fun to do the event with you. I really appreciate watching your career because that included one of the things that John Thompson did too. for a while was selling airtime.
Oh.
And let me tell you something, that'll put some hard bark on you. And I think everybody in the broadcast industry should go out and sell for a while.
It certainly helps, right? And it built up my confidence quite a bit. I know, Annette, we were talking off air, and it's like every job is difficult, but there's something about picking up a phone and calling someone you have no idea who they are and trying to sell them something. You know, which I know you do a lot of selling in your job.
Oh,
I mean,
all the time.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Much respect.
When can we see you on television?
For sure, every day, Monday through Friday, 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock on CBS 5, so KYES. And then next week I'll be filling in at the 6 o'clock anchor on Alaska's News Source. So I'll see you at 6.
Okay.
Next week.
Our good friends, Neighbors Windows and Doors, one of the sponsors of that 4 p.m. broadcast.
Ooh.
We're there for you, baby.
You're a good man.
As we say, anyone gives us money, we call a friend, and the more money, the better the friend.
That's right.
Thank you both for coming. Annette, we're big fans. What you do is very important. And to you, John Thompson, keep doing what you're doing. To Mike Ford, it's always a pleasure, sir. And to my baby girl, love you. Mike Ford, why don't you take us out as you so eloquently do.
And happy birthday, Uncle Steve. We want to thank John and Annette. We want to thank you for listening. We want to thank our sponsors, Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel, or online at neighborswindowsanddoors.com, and Alaska Enterprise Solutions, your Xerox sales agent for Alaska. Visit them at aesalaska.com. And remember, it's got to be the Big Alaska Show. If it's Big Alaska Guests, Big Alaska Adventures, and no good lying through your tooth, Tall Alaska Tales. Have a great week, everybody.